Good morning, everyone. I bless you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray that you would just stretch forth your hand to me because, as you know, I injured my back about 2 years ago in Israel. And I was healed for a short time. And then as soon as I come back to America, it starts bothering me again. So you guys just stop it. Okay, anyway, just stretch forth your hand that I can stand up here without any pain this morning or discomfort. It's really not painful. It's just discomfort because there's pressure on my back all the time, and it sucks buttermilk. Anyway, so, Father, we come before you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We just bless your holy name, Father. And we thank you this morning for the birth of the one new man, Lord. And we pray that you would give us revelation and understanding and change our hearts and our minds into the image to which you created us to be. In Yeshua's holy name. So, thank you guys for allowing me to come and speak in your pulpit. I'm honored. I just want to start out with something that's been on my heart for many, many years. And as you know, Gail and I ventured over to Israel many years ago and started ministering over there in the city of Ashkelon. And I somehow ended up in the city of Arad, which is 20 minutes from the Dead Sea, very warm in the summer and very cold in the winter. But anyway, I met some wonderful people in both places, and my visit to Arad was probably the hardest place I've ever been in my life. There's tons and tons of Haredim who do not want anything to do with the name of Jesus or anybody who speaks that name or represents that name. But I lived in an apartment house that was a dump. I mean, it was compared to some of the apartment houses here that are dumps. You know, I lived in this apartment house. I lived up on the third floor on the penthouse. That was the third floor. And I was among lots and lots of religious families that lived there, a lot of Russians and people from different cultures. And I was honored to be able to pray in that place every day for their souls, to pray for them to know their Messiah. And so I told you the story before, but I want to just share it again, because the religious Jews, now this is a city where it gets up to 105 plus in the summertime, and they are in their full garb, their little undershirt with the zizits, plus a white shirt, black jacket, and a black overcoat, and they walk in that condition every day because they're so much under bondage. They have no freedom whatsoever, and they have to do that in order to represent God correctly. I don't think God's into that personally, but you know, so be it. So I asked the Lord, I says, Lord, how do I minister to these people? And he said, you shalom them every day. You speak peace over them. I actually spoke to them because they won't look you in the eye when you're walking down the street. And there's so much under bondage and they won't look at one of us because we're Gentiles, you know. And I'm going to get that straightened out here this morning. I'm going to share some things with you that God says in his word about that situation. And they need to read his word. Yeah, they read it every day. They also have a prayer book which curses us every day. Curses the unbeliever according to their standards. And so there's a curse in the city of Arad every day. There's a curse that goes on every time they pray. They're from their prayer books. You know, because we are Gentiles, and to them, we believe in another God, and his name is Jesus, or Yeshua, if you will. I don't condemn them. I love them. I don't know how I love them, but I love them, because they don't love us. And so, anyway, that's going to change. I really, really, truly believe it. And I'm just going to start out here this morning with some things. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So that's the old covenant. That was God's original plan, you know, that man fell because he was deceived. Anyway, so in the new covenant, it says something like this. For we are, believing Gentiles, his workmanship, believing Gentiles and believing Jews. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We are created in Christ Jesus. When we come to him, we are created in him and like him. For good works which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in his works and be created in Christ Jesus. Jesus is God. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made by in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, anything to do with Israel or any understanding of Israel. And at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope, we had no hope without him, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off from all these things have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, made us both, Jew and Gentile, one. We are one. And has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself. We are created in him. We are created in him, just as the plan was in Genesis 1:26. So we are recreated, if you will, or created in him. Create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Now, I made a statement a couple weeks ago that there will be no manifestation of the sons of God until this happens, till we become one with the believing Jews, and the Jews, believing Jews, become one with us. And I'm going to say that I'm going to share from a book today about. Did you want the scripture? Of course you did, Truman. That is Ephesians 2:10-15. Sorry. So this whole creation thing is really, really wonderful, because if you look at creation and what happened there, mankind was created in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when we come to him, we are created again from our fallen state into God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in that likeness, in that manner, in that, with that same purpose, with that same love, with that same power, with that same wisdom. And so you got to look at it that way. What was the intent of God in the beginning? To be one with him. What is the intent of God? To get born again so you can go to heaven? No, so you can be heaven on earth. That's really what it's about. And so that has not been taught in the church much, but I'm saying this morning that's what it is. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Actually, I want to start with verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no more longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We regard no one according to the flesh who is born of Christ. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we no longer know him no longer in that way. Therefore, if anyone, Jew or Gentile, is in Christ, he is a new creation. You are a new creation. You realize you're a new creation? That makes you like God. In his image, in his likeness, like his Son, like the Holy Spirit. We have all of that in us. God dwells here in us. We have full access to that whole participation with him in this earth today, here, now. So, old things have passed away. And if you don't believe that, you need to let them pass away. Because they're old things. They died. When he died, they died. When he died, you died. The old self, the old worldly self, died. You no longer live. You're dead. But you're alive in him because you're now like him. And being conformed to his image day by day, moment by moment. It says in another place in Corinthians, for even though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. So in Christ, we're being renewed day by day. We become more like him day by day. That's a reality that we must come to and start living in. That's a reality. And living word is just that. It is going to be living here. It's not going to be dead here. So anyway, praise God for that. Therefore, if anyone, Jew and Gentile, is in Christ, he's a new creation. Think about that, the creation. God created heavens and earth. He created man in his own image, in his own likeness. He created them, male and female, he created them. Whew. So now we're in that same state again because of the blood of Christ, because of him, what he did on the cross. We now are a new creation, a new creation. Think about that. What is that new creation like? And what is that new creation supposed to be? I just read you a few things there that therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who is called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made by the flesh of hand. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no hope. We were without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off from that, he himself is our peace, who has made us both one. I love that one. He's made us both one. And I so desire to see my Jewish brothers and sisters, my Israeli brothers and sisters, my Arab brothers and sisters come to him, to know him. Because there are many different cultures in Israel. There's the religious culture. There's the secular culture. Who says, yeah, well, maybe God exists. We don't know for sure, but we're here in Israel. We're Israelis, so we belong here. Well, why do you belong here? Because God made a promise to you. He said, I'm going to give you this land. Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. And to all your descendants. We are descendants of Abraham, by the way, just as much as the Jews are. And so, anyway, there's a big argument that Abraham was the first Jew. There's nowhere in Scripture it says he was a Jew. Nowhere in Scripture. But it says he, in Genesis 14:13, it says Abram the Hebrew. So he was a Hebrew. We can call him a Hebrew. Tiki says, no, he's Aramaic. He was Aramaic. You know, because she told me one time, she says, she's a Yemenite Jew. So she comes, her parents come from Yemen. So she told me one day, she says, I'm Israeli, you know. And she says, but I'm also Arab, you know. And I says, honey, I don't care what you is. I like you. Anyway, so that's, you know. Hebrew and what?
What's the Hebrew and a Jew?
Hebrew and a Jew? We don't know. They speak the same language. That's all we know. But I can tell you where the Jew began. We'll talk about that this morning, perhaps. So we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. So he's working in us. He's creating us in the image of Yeshua. So workmanship in the Greek is the word poema, and it means masterpiece. You artists can appreciate that because he's made you his. You're his workmanship. Therefore, you're becoming a masterpiece. We're becoming a masterpiece in the world, and Christians need to start living it. Instead of just gabbing it, we need to start living it. We need to start being who we're supposed to be. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you one more thing. We were not made to become Jewish, and the Jews were not made to become Christians. We are one new man in him. We are to be like him, all of us. That's what the word says. I can't. If you see something else, please tell me, because I've studied this for a little while. So we're created in himself. We're created in the image of Christ by him. He created us as one new man. From the two, Jew and Gentile, he made us one new man. I want to read from Romans 8, 29 and 30. We can go there for a moment. I can get my Bible open. It just told me, try again. Okay. Romans 8. Okay, here we go. For whom he foreknew, did he foreknow us? Yes, he did. He foreknew us. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be, that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we're created in him. So he's the firstborn of many brethren. We're like him. We're his brothers. We're made like him. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Whew. Think about that. What does that mean for us as we walk in that new life, as we walk in that new creation? You know, it's difficult sometimes to see yourself in him and like him because, well, you know, we're just dirty old sinners. Well, you know what? We're not. We're clean and we're cleansed by the blood and we're a new creation in him. And once we get that in here and it goes down to here, whew, look out, world. Amen. So it's time for us to begin to live that, not just talk about it. But it's a reality. It's a spiritual reality. It's a biblical reality. It is what it is. So it says here in Ephesians chapter 2 that, let's see, where is it here? I'll find it in a minute. Okay, I want to talk about circumcision, the covenant of Abraham. The sign of that covenant was circumcision. I could say some things about that, but I won't. I won't embarrass anybody, but it's a true thing. It happens. So here we are. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you, you shall be circumcised and shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. This is an everlasting covenant. It's something that cannot be broken. Okay, so it's an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Well, he didn't know he broke the covenant, but God makes... So here's what God says later on in another part of Scripture. As he saw that they were looking at everything became physical for them. Everything became in the natural and nothing in the spiritual. They did not recognize this. So here's what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 4 through 6. Deuteronomy 30, verses 4 through 6. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you. So the Jews were scattered all over. The Israelites were scattered all over. From there, your Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord will, your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. This is not a political promise. This is a spiritual promise from God. The Lord your God will, you will possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. In other words, they need their hearts circumcised in order to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. So, the physical circumcision didn't work too good, even though it's an everlasting covenant. So that they had that sign. And now he's saying, No, you need to circumcise your hearts because you do not love me as I commanded you. So now with your heart circumcised, you can love me and you're open up to my love. And so we are part of that as well. And here's what it says in the New Covenant concerning circumcision. Romans 2:25-29. This is really, really good. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law or the Torah. But if you are a breaker of the Torah, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the Torah, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Hello? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the Torah, judge you even with your written code and circumcision as a transgressor of the law? Here's the kicker. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Whew. That's a heavy-duty thing to say in Israel. They will more than circumcise you. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Romans 2:25-29. Whew. Heavy duty. I got so much more to say. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation, it's not about circumcision or uncircumcision. It's about the new creation. And as many as walk in according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. We become the Israel of God. We are the Israel of God. They are the Israel of God. But they don't understand how to get there. They don't understand because they've been blinded and there's still a veil over their eyes even to this day. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is. There's still a veil over their eyes which causes the veil to be over their heart. But if they read the scriptures, even in Ezekiel, it says, I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. And you will know me. And in the new covenant, it says this, Jeremiah 31:31-34. For I shall make a new covenant with my people, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, they were separated. There was some things going on that they didn't like each other very well. But they were all brothers. They were all part of Israel. Judah was part of Israel. Israel was part of Judah. Jew comes from the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, which are the tribes that stayed in the south in Jerusalem while the other tribes went north, the other 10 tribes, the so-called lost 10 tribes of Israel. So now later on, Judah was captured and taken over by Babylon, and they were exiled to Babylon. And during that 70 years of exile in Babylon, something really interesting happened. During that 70 years of exile, and 70 years of imprisonment, if you will, there was no freedom. They had no Torah. So that is when the self-appointed rabbis came forth, and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have discussions and stories that we need to remember, and that's where we get the oral Torah, or the Torah that is written, and that's where we get today what Judaism is. It came from that 70 years in captivity. When you're in captivity, do you think straight? No. So they were having discussions and sharing stories about what they remembered about the Torah. So that's where the oral Torah came from. And Jesus was not against Torah. He was against the oral Torah. He says, against your laws. So he was speaking against those who, with the rabbinical law. And that's where we get the Judaism that we have today. It's a Talmud Judaism. Talmud came out of that, and from that came the Mishnah, which is what the Jews, the religious Jews, believe in today. It's all about the oral Torah. The book that they use, which called, remember what the book is? I can't think of the name. The what? No, that's all the Old Testament. It's the Talmud, yeah. The Talmud is I said, the Talmud is all of these things that were written down as they remembered them and as they made them, and they became law. And they said, this is how we keep this part of the law. This is how we keep that part of the law. We have to do this in order to keep that. So when you're doing all of that, guess what? You're in big bondage. And a friend of mine who wrote a book recently is a Messianic Jew. And the name of the book is How to Be Messianic Without Becoming Meshuggah by Avner Bosky. Meshuggah is crazy. How to be a Messianic Jew without becoming Meshuggah. So he knows the Lord, his God, with all his heart, loves the Lord, his God, with all his heart. He knows Yeshua HaMashiach. He and I got in a head-butting contest one time when I first knew him, and I went to Israel to help him. He says, you're here to serve us. And I said, yeah, I'm here to serve you, and I want to help you. And all these, you know, we are Judah, and we're the ruling tribe. And I said, okay, fine. But we came to Messiah through the same Lord. So, yeah, but I'm Jewish. You're a Gentile. I says, yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, so I knew at that point. I says, it doesn't matter. He says, but, you know, you're here to serve me. I says, okay, I'll serve you, you know, because I'm your brother. You know, you're not my brother. You're a Gentile. So he didn't know all that he knows now. But he's an intelligent man. He's a brilliant man. He has several degrees. He studied at Hebrew University. He has a degree from Dallas Theological Seminary, and he's a wonderful man. He only speaks five different languages, only five. I mean, I was surprised he didn't speak seven. He might, but he's a beautiful man of God. The last time I saw him was here in Denver a few weeks ago, but prior to that, I'm in Arad in a home group, and I hadn't seen him in years, and he comes over to me, and he hugs me, and he says, I love you, my brother. I thought, oh, wow, that's nice. He loves me now. So he kisses me on both cheeks, which is kind of Middle Eastern, you know, and I thought that's really, and I felt the love of God in him. And then I read his book, and so I had to go apologize to him for what I was feeling, because his book is really, really, really good. I'm going to read some things from it this morning. Let me get back on track here. Try to stay with my notes. Okay, we read the. I want to talk about the covenants briefly, and I want to read about the covenants from his book. So I'm going to read a little bit. Is that okay with you guys? Is it okay if a teacher reads? Because that's what we do in elementary, you know. Read this after me. Okay, you don't have to read it after me, but here's what it says. He calls this section of his book Tiptoe Through the Covenants. The Bible says that the God of Abraham established or ratified five contracts or covenants. The Hebrew word is brit, is used to describe five separate covenants. We have the Noahic covenant, which is, I'm going to give you some scripture if you want to write it down. The Noahic covenant is Genesis 6, 18, 9, 9 through 17. Then we have the Abrahamic covenant, which is Genesis 15 through 18, or Genesis 15, 8, 17, 2 through 21, and Leviticus 26, 42 through 45. Did I go too fast?
Yes.
Thank you. Abrahamic, Genesis 15, 8, 17, 2 through 21, Leviticus 26, 42 through 45. The Mosaic covenant, which is not an everlasting covenant, by the way, Exodus 24, 7 through 8, 34, 10, 27 through 28, 34, 27 through 28. 1 Kings 8:21. Okay, Mosaic Covenant, Exodus, ready?
Yes.
How fast can you write? Okay, Exodus 24, 7 through 8, Exodus 34, 10, verses 27 and 28. 1 Kings 8:21, okay? Then we have the Davidic covenant. 2 Samuel 23:5, 2 Chronicles 21:7, Psalm 89:34. And then we also have, which is a Jewish covenant, called the New Covenant, or the Brit Hadashah. It was mediated by and through Yeshua. Isaiah 55:3, Jeremiah 31:31 through 34, Matthew 26:28, 1 Corinthians 11:25, Hebrews 8:8 through 13, 9 through 15, 10:29, 12:24, and 13:20. Each one of these has its own focus, and it has yet they're all in some way related. There's the Noahic covenant, which gives general governmental guidelines, including the sign of the covenant, the rainbow, the prohibition against eating blood, the institution of capital punishment, God's promises to never again destroy the world through water, and the positive command to have children. Genesis 9:16 describes this covenant as a Brit Olam. It's an everlasting covenant. The Noahic covenant is an everlasting covenant. Abraham's covenant is established through Sarah's child Isaac, then through Jacob and his 12 sons. The sign of the covenant is circumcision on the eighth day. I just read that. The promises include a land with distinct borders, and I'm going to tell you what the borders of it are. It's not where Israel is today. The borders of the distinct land go up into Syria, and they come down the river. Euphrates. Thank you. And then it goes over into Egypt and the Nile River. And if they come down and the two cross, they cut across part of Arabia, and it becomes a huge, huge area going up into Iran and other places. So they still do not have all the land that God promised them. Now, this is a godly promise, not a political promise. And it came to pass on one day through a political situation, but it was God's promise, and man did not know that. Maybe some did, but not all of them did. So anyway, with distinct borders for the Jewish people, a chosen people who will be great in number and in influence, a protective blessing and cursing for the nations based on how they treat the Jewish people. Did you know that there's a blessing and a cursing of how we treat the Jewish people? Yeah. Genesis 17:7, 13, and 19 describes this covenant as a Brit Olam, everlasting covenant. Mosaic covenant contains a large body of teaching contained in 613 commandments. Only 613, you got to remember them every day. That's true. Most deal with the activities in the land of Israel with focus on agriculture, the temple, legal system, criminal justice, social justice, family, and marriage ethics. The covenant is nowhere directly called an everlasting covenant. Mosaic covenant is nowhere directly in the Bible called an everlasting covenant. The sign of the Mosaic covenant is the Sabbath. Exodus 31:16, Ezekiel 20:12. The scriptures note that the Sabbath was set apart by God as a sanctified day at creation. Genesis 2:2-3. Long before Noah, Abraham, and Moses were born. There are also passages that describe future celebration of the Sabbath during the New Covenant Messianic Age. Isaiah 56:2-6, 66:23, Ezekiel 45:17, 46:12. It seems that the holy day known as the Sabbath is transcovenantal in nature. In that sense, one could say that the Sabbath precedes and accompanies all covenants. Exodus 31:16. There are three indicators given in the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, regarding the time frame for the Mosaic covenant. The first passage is Jeremiah 31:31-34. The second is Galatians 3:24-25. And the third is 2 Corinthians 3:9-11. The first two passages will be considered shortly. Now, you know that in Jeremiah 31, let's just turn there for a moment. Are y'all with me? You know, there's an old saying that says, Grandma was slow, but she was old. So if I'm slow, that means I'm older than Grandma. Okay, we're going to Jeremiah 31. I know. Thank God she wouldn't have been able to use it, neither can I. Jeremiah 31:31-34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I... Now, did you notice that God made all these covenants and he kept them, but they didn't, the people didn't. So, are we going to, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This covenant will not be according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. So if we're grafted in, is this for us? This a new covenant? Yeah, we are. I will be their God and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. I will remember their sin no more, because they're forgiven through this new covenant. Now, new covenant has to be the shedding of blood for the covenant to be made. Well, whose blood was shed for the new covenant? Yeshua, Jesus. Amen. So this is an everlasting covenant. Now I want to say something about Israel. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, the ordinances of the moon and stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart, if they ever departed from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. So God still sees Israel as a nation because day and night has not ceased. Okay? So anyway, I want to go on with this. The covenant which they broke, and the new covenant will not be like that covenant. What covenant was that they broke? Which covenant was it? The Mosaic covenant. So they broke it. So here's what the Jews believe through the Talmud. In the writings of the Talmud. This scripture was so against what they believed. They studied and studied and studied and came up with looking up the word new, which can be translated at times as renewed. So they thought that their belief now is, and their argument is, well, it means renewed, so the Mosaic covenant was renewed. No, it isn't. It says not like the covenant before. But I will give you a new covenant. So it's not renewed, it's new. Even a Messianic Jew wrote a book called Torah Rediscovered, I think the name of it was, and he's using the word renewed. And so even some of the Messianic Jews have fallen into this renewed covenant idea. And that's why they do what they do in many of their meetings, going back to the Mosaic covenant. It's not for them, it's not for us. Period. That's what it says. And I'm saying that because my friend says in his book, and he's really a Messianic Jew, that it's not for them. It's not for us. It was never an everlasting covenant. So listen, I have many Messianic Jewish friends who will become my enemies soon. But no, they won't. They will love me because they know Yeshua. But I have many Messianic Jewish friends who have fallen into this. And I've seen and I've said things to the degree that I've ticked some people off, you know. So because I say that, you know, you're going back into legalism. And listen, the Torah was never legalistic. What became legalistic was the written Torah or the Talmud. It's so many rules and regulations. There's over six, there's rules and regulations to keep the 613 commandments of the Mosaic Covenant, which are more rules and regulations on how to keep it, why to keep it. And, listen, no wonder I came back stressed out, huh? Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for freedom. Amen. So, this is what I'm doing now. I will go back to Israel at the right time. Currently, I'm writing the book called The One New Man Creation with all this stuff in it. And I don't know if it's going to be a bestseller or a worst seller. We don't know, but it doesn't matter. I'm not looking for a bestseller. What I'm doing is looking for the truth. And so my friend Avner wrote this book. I suggest that all of you get it, whether you're messianic or not. I trust this man. And the name of it again is How to Be a Messianic Without Becoming Meshuga, Crazy, by Avner Basky. Now, he's one of the messianic leaders in the land. Okay, good. Yeah, his website is David's Tent. David's Tent, yeah. Okay, I want to... The denial of the New Covenant and the rabbinic reinterpretation of that phrase, renewed, as being merely a renewed Mosaic Covenant, this has been standard anti-messianic strategy for centuries. Centuries. It is surprising and saddening to see some messianic leaders. Now listen to this. And I know this is true because I've experienced it. It is surprising and saddening to see some messianic leaders buying into this rabbinic argument. Perhaps they do not realize that anti-messianic origin is here. Perhaps they are unaware of the confusion caused to some messianic believers who hear these teachers explaining the way the new covenant is simply a Mosaic covenant with frills added, a renewed Mosaic covenant. This issue has caused not a little grief amongst some messianic Jews. It has led to shipwreck faith of some, the spiritual slavery and legalism for others. And see, this has to stop. It's not God's will, I'm sorry to tell you. You know, it's if you read Scripture, if you understand Scripture, if you look for His heart, there is one Spirit of truth, and that's the Holy Spirit of truth. And Yeshua and the Spirit of truth are the same, one and the same. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the Godhead. They cannot disagree with each other. If you look in John 16, 13 through 15, you'll find that the Holy Spirit is the spokesman of the Godhead to us. I'm going to read that for you because I think it's time that I read it again, and I've only read it 15,000 times here in this congregation. Maybe 14,999, but this will be the 15,000th time. So anyway, John, chapter 16. Oh, I got 10 minutes left. Let's just hang out. John 16, 13 through 15. This is powerful, powerful scripture. So listen to it very carefully. I'm going to read it very slowly. I'm going to try to expound on it a little bit as we go. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Who is the Spirit of truth going to hear from? Father and the Son, because they're one. They are one. They cannot disagree. They cannot disagree. This is a powerful scripture. For you prophetic people, this is something you need to hear, something you need to understand. When He speaks to you, He's not going to speak on His own authority. He's going to speak only what He hears from the Father and the Son, and He's going to speak it to you. So here we go. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will glorify him. Everything the Holy Spirit says will always, always, always glorify Jesus. I tell this to prophetic people all the time. Do not use your imagination, because your imagination has nothing to do with this. So he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take, the Holy Spirit will take of what belongs to Jesus, and he will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, says Jesus. Therefore, I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine everything that belongs to Jesus, and he will declare it to you. I want this Holy Spirit. That's what brought me to the place of, okay, I need the Holy Spirit. I don't know him. I didn't know him at the time. Now I know him. And I know he's the voice of the good shepherd, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. So that's why I've had such a strange life over the last 3 years since I left here in 2016. Sometimes it's absolutely nuts. What did you say, Lord? Go where? Are you kidding me? You want me to get killed? Well, if they hated me, they will hate you. That's somewhere in Scripture, you know. So he speaks scripturally. Hallelujah. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. So are we kind of clear on the covenants and all of that? So I want to say this. Those who are created in or into Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, if you will, are the one new man creation. They are a new creation. We are a new creation. Now listen, stop living the old life, because you died. You've been buried. You're dead. You were buried with baptism in him and raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what baptism is about. It's symbolic of your death in the old man. You're raised to walk in the newness of life, the new creation. You're a new creation. Evan, did you know that you're a new creation? Don't answer that. I already know the answer. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
he would tell me loud and clear that he is a new creation. And thank you, Lord, he is a new creation. Everybody in here is a new creation. If you're in Christ and Christ is in you, then you are a new creation. You're no longer Jew or Gentile or bond or free, male nor female. You're all one in him. We're all one in him. Just think who you are. I want you to get your identity right and start and stop talking all the crap, you know. Because that's who you are. In reality, that's who you are. Do not try to be something else. Do not try to be what man says, this is the way it's done. Be what God says and do it. And let yourself die to the old ways of life. It's a reality. Think about your baptism when you were submerged in the water. That represents your death to the old man, to the old ways, to the fallen man, to the fallen creation. And when you come up out of that water, you're raised to walk in the newness of life, because you're a new creation. You're a new creation. And so we have to start walking that way, have to start living that way. How do you do it? By knowing who you are. And living that to the best of your ability, his ability in you. It's not your ability. It's his ability in you. You've got to remember, it's his ability in you. Everything that he is in you, he will make you fresh and new. Everything. Isn't this good? Aren't you glad that you're dead and you've come alive as a new creation? Who told you? Anyway, the old man's dead, the new man lives. He lives like Jesus, he looks like Jesus, he walks like Jesus, he talks like Jesus. He thinks like Jesus, he loves like Jesus. Woo-wee! Love is so powerful. Love is so powerful. And that love is in each and every one of you. Each and every one of you have that love and that compassion that he has. You want to see healing happen? The greatest miracle that you can ever see is when someone gets born again. That's the greatest miracle of all miracles, because you become a new creation. You're a new creation. Can you believe that? And then if you believe that, what do you look like in that creation? Who do you become in that creation, Larry?
I'm just like Yeshua.
Yeah. Yeah. The Godhead. The whole Godhead dwells in us. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. In Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, the new creation, are complete in Him. You're complete in Him. You're not missing anything. You know, we go like this. Sometimes we hear like bolts and nuts rattling. But you're complete in Him. That's the old man. You got to kill it. Would you rather have Jesus kill you or the devil? You know? No contest. Well, you're already dead, so now you're raised to walk in the newness of life. Has anybody in here not been baptized? I will baptize you personally this morning. Find the tub. Because that's what it's about. Think about it. When you go to the grave, you die. You died in the grave. And when you're raised, you're raised to walk in the newness of life, Scripture says. The newness of life. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. It's new. It's fresh. It's a new creation. I want to say something about Living Word this morning. I just say that I left here in 2016 because it was time for me to go back to Israel. And it's been the greatest experience I've ever had in my whole life. I found out how much He loves them. And I've come to love them the same way. I've said some things this morning that maybe seems to be against them, but God is not against them. You read the book of Romans, chapters 9 through 11. You'll see that beautiful, beautiful story that Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and experience that he had. And he was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. And so he was not fair to the Christians, you see, because he was a Pharisee. And so, you know, he killed them and murdered them. And then there's been areas in the Christian walk that we've not done so well toward the Jews. And so we have a few faults of our own. But I'm going to put both of these in the book. I'm going to give details, and I'm going to give scripture, and I'm going to give historical stuff, because right now I have more notes on research than I actually have written in the book. So this is going to be one of the most difficult books I've ever written. The prophetic books that I've written were all inspirational. They were just a download from God. It came pretty easy, came pretty fast. I read them now and I look at it and say, I don't remember writing that. It had to be inspirational from God. So anyway, guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I want you to go forward. I want you to go forward as a new creation, man. Because that's who you are. That's who you are. So I guess I better let you go because we have art and we have lunch. And I wouldn't want you to miss either one of them. Because the old man is hungry and the new man is really, really hungry. So, I want you to start eating the new man food, which is the Word of God, the Living Word. Living Word Ministries International. Isn't that something? That's another story. I won't go there. But, John, Evan, would you come over here a minute? I want you guys to come up here. Evan and John. Now, regardless of what has happened, good and bad, I love these guys, and I honor them, and they represent my heart. They represent the heart of Yeshua, and they live in that. So I bless them in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I bless them because they want to live the new life, and they want you to live the new life. And God selected them as leadership, along with their wives, because they're one with their wives, as beautiful as they may be. I'm talking about the wives. Yeah. And so anyway, I bless them, Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and I pray that I just felt like this morning as the worship, there's no worship like this that I've, and I've been in a lot of places, even in Texas where they have three worship teams. You guys have two worship teams because you are the worship leaders as well. So anyway, I just believe that the Lord showed me this morning that, that this place will go forward because of the heart of the one new man. And as long as you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of any other doctrines that may be controversial, I know that there's never been that here, but anyway, doesn't matter. What matters is what's in your heart for the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that's what I charge you with this day, to preach that gospel and only that gospel of the kingdom of God. And the identity, because when you step into that identity, things will change in you. And as things change in you, things will change in the congregation. Because you are the voice that speaks for God to the congregation. You're the shepherd. So if any sheep take the flock and lead them astray, well, you know what they do in Israel? They break the legs of that sheep, so the sheep cannot lead them anymore. So do not mess around, because you get your legs broke. So anyway, I love you guys, and I appreciate you. And so, Father, I bless them in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and that they may be filled to the full with your Holy Spirit and everything, that all the gifts of the Spirit will produce the fruit of the Spirit. In the mighty name of Yeshua, in this place, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you.